The following contains adult language, content, and description of actions that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. My name is J.R. Watkins, host of World Music Views, and you're now tuning into the Urban Caribbean Music Edition. Caribbean music is the heartbeat of the world, and the recording industry is the heartbeat of the region. In these episodes, I will take you on a journey on how Caribbean music and culture is impacting the world. Let's go!
Lifestyle, big, big, big.
And the featured artist this week is Chris Martin. The VP artist released two albums, Big Deal, and then in 2017 and 2019. He has 31 million Pandora plays. His top songs are Cheetah's Prayer, I'm a Big Deal, Paper Loving, and Under the Influence.
In the make no sense, cause we don't want them no rent. How we living at the mid 100%.
Boom, check it out. You know, this is Christopher Martin, and you're in tune right now. World Music Views. World Music Views, who life of them worried. Yeah, go and live in a them head scotch free, cause we not pay no rent.
Hashtag, I'm a big deal.
VIP, you're my friend, I'm a VIP. VIP, ask anybody boy.
I'm a big deal, you're my friend, I'm a big deal. Yeah, we're kinda important. For real, oh yeah, I'm a big deal, and my friends are some big deals. Very, very, very important. For real.
Christopher Martin.
How go, General?
I remember being at Asylum, right? Mm. And IT was doing after work jam.
Yeah.
The club rocking. I to playing love put on a bad, and then he got word that the Rising Stars finals is about to be on TV.
When I found out that I was winner of Digital Rising Stars, words can't really explain it. People could have seen the look on my face; they could really see that I was overjoyed.
Seven prizes.
I can't really just stay up with that overjoyed. So much emotions were running through me that time.
Rising Star for 2005 is in fact.
When you see that you make a connection with the people of Jamaica and them put all them hard and money and them say they're going to vote for that youth. And you see, it reaches a stage now where you understand and you come to the full knowledge, say, are you the people?
The governor himself, Christopher Martin.
I can't explain it in words, honestly. I just want them feeling there, you know, say, you have to remember it. No matter how old you get, you could have been 150. You have to remember that day, that's how you did feel.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen this before, and I've never seen it after. They cut the club activity, turn on the TV, for the entire club to watch you on Rising Stars. Behind these prison walls. Yeah, so tell me, the whole club stopped to watch you singing the cover version of Jack Yours Behind These Prison Walls. Tell me what that experience was like entering Rising Stars. What was that like for you?
Oh, I entered Rising Stars and I was like, when I finished sixth form and all of my friends them have them one thing plan out, like, you know what I mean? Who can afford to go to college will be going to college. So like my friend say, yo, why you don't enter Rising Stars? And I say, Rising Stars? And I say, yeah, man. Then them start telling me about it, you know, cave and everything. I mean, I say, yeah, because I never got to see it. I was away for the entire summer. So I say, all right, I got enter. And when I entered now, it's the funny thing about it. Before I entered, I had like a group of friends who I used to sing with in high school. And I told them, yo, let's enter Rising Stars, you know what I mean? And they were like, nah, I'm not feeling it. Then on the day when I went to the National Stadium to enter now, I see my friend them with a different lead singer. I'm going to say, yo, this is a joke. I said, dog, you're not going to tell me, say, you know, we have a different group outside of the group where we sing, you know what I mean? Because I only met them in high school. So more than likely, they had friendships that surpassed that time. So I said, I don't feel no way. But anyway, you know what I mean? Them enter, me enter, and you know the outcome already. Yeah, so.
I thought
the gist behind it, man. Well, it was a big vibes, man. It was a big vibes. It was like something that really kind of built my character and built like my whole stage performance and stuff. Cause it's not like performing for 10 people or performing for my auditorium in high school. That's like millions of people watching it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. It was a vibe, man.
But it was a TV show, and the history has shown that only one, you are one of two persons that had a successful career out of that show. You and Romain Virgo.
Big up, my brother.
Sign record deals and move on to the industry. What was that transition like to move from a TV show star to a bona fide star?
It wasn't easy, you know. It wasn't easy at all because earlier in my career, some of the performances that I used to do, I'd be there performing and I'm trying to give my original works to the masses, and they don't want to hear that. You know, they don't want to hear the song they saw on TV.
Oh, like, you're behind these.
Yeah, they want to hear that. Or they want to hear there's something about your love that makes me weak. I mean, I say, yo, what my song is doing? Like, you don't have to hear it. And it's tough, like, board in front of me, man. But as me say, build character, because at the end of the day, I know that I can only do that for a certain amount of time. Yeah, I understand. So it was just one of them things that until like my songs just started, you know what I mean, doing what they were supposed to do. And I moved from doing like sets from like half an hour with like 25 minutes of that half an hour being cover versions to like doing hour and a half, close to 2 hours now, even over 2 hours if I have to have my own original material. So moving from like a star with no song for themselves to like having my own hit songs now, it's a big move, man. Big vibes, trust me.
I remember seeing you on Reggae Sumfest. That was a moment I knew you arrived in the music industry as a bona fide star. I see you perform. I think you started in a suit and end up leave in just your shirt. and that was me assessing it and saying you left everything on the stage. Tell me about your preparation for stage performance.
My preparation for stage performance, now, here we go. Everybody have their own local vibes with them just still, you know. I just feel like I have to pray first and foremost. Yeah, pray up with my band and set everything in order. I have to make sure, so whatever me I wear, it enhances the performance. Like you as I walk on stage, just be like, yeah, you mean business. You know what I mean? So all of those things I have to take into consideration. And I just feel like when I touch the stage, it's a different person. The person who's talking to you now is non-existent. It's a totally different human being up there. I don't care how I look. I don't care how I'm moving. I don't business one. No, I just vibes and bring it over the music to the masses in the way that, you know, when I come off that stage, they will say, yo, Chris left it all up there. And I said, that, God forbid, that would have been my last performance. They can say, yo, that man don't play. You know what I mean?
You know the straps in my G. Lifestyle. When I see a team, it's prime time. Level up. Tonight, man, I touch your heart for the girl them. Big body be my push out for the girl them. Spend a couple million, now I'm up on the girl them. High love, man, I buy love. But my love, they are fear my friend, man, I bra for the girl them. Boom, I'm a brand, the Prada, Fendi, Balenciaga for the girl them. Man, go hard for the girl them. What's a man, I do it for hyper, man. We do it for the girl them. Beats them boss in a cup.
Yeah.
Olympia rose in a cup.
Yeah.
Make every girl I wind up.
Yeah.
Girl, I say me sweet, me I'm.
You're friends with one of Jamaica's most renowned athletes ever, Usain Bolt. Tell me how that friendship started and how being friends with him helped you to be a person of excellence on the stage and in your song and music.
I actually met Usain through a mutual friend of ours at the time, whose name is Jermaine Gonzalez. Yeah, so me and Jermaine Gonzalez, we went to like the same college school together. In Watermount College, and then he went on to Tisha School, and I went to St. Diego High. And he was like a bona fide star, track and field, football, cricket, you name it. You just talented, you know what I mean? So when I came to Kingston in 2005.
Jeremy Gonzalez actually coached my son now.
Yeah, man. General, man. I'm a brother that life, man. Big up guns every time. So when I came to Kingston in 2005, and I was in the competition, we reconnected, you know, because he was living in Kingston now at the time. So we reconnected and I went to check him by his apartment. Usain was there. So from that day we met, we just, it was just like a natural energy, a natural vibe. Like, two of we love the same kind of vibes, them. We all have laughter, we love domino, we love football, we love party, you know? So it just hit off, man. And to see his transition from 2005 to 2008 being a global star and the fruition of his talent, you know, amidst all the injuries that he went through earlier in his life. And then like from 2008 onward, trust me, man, just to be there around him and to see the vibe and to see how much effort he puts into his training, see how dedicated he is, it aided me in seeing how I have to handle my craft. I understand it is. You can be blessed with all of the natural abilities. The Almighty can get everything. But if you don't work hard at it, you know, it's just going to be there. You know, so I learned that from him. I learned that from Jeremy as well. So, you know, it's always a plus when people come into your life at an early stage for you to take pieces of them and just understand and apply to your daily routine and your daily life. So, yeah, man, definitely, man. Being close to Usain and close to Jeremy and really, really aided my career path and just knowing what I need to do. I have to be steadfast, I have to be focused 100%.
Tell me about your first hit song. Which song would you say is your first hit?
It different, you know. I don't know how to really classify a hit per se, because y'all songs that hit in different places. You understand? So, like, Giving It was one of those songs that I would say was the first hit song. It was like the first song that made me travel. You know, it was a big song in the Caribbean. So it was a hit song. It bubbled in Jamaica. It go and go to Jamaica, but I would say it was a hit song in Jamaica. You know, people knew it. If we are talking about from a Jamaican standpoint, I would say the very first hit song was Take My Wings.
Baby, I've been wondering, where have you been so long? In my life you made a statement. You're like my very first hit song. All this time I have been rising, but you have made me into a star. And without your love I'm nothing. Who I am now is who you are.
Yeah, Take My Wings was probably my first hit song. Yeah.
And where have you been all over the world? Tell me some of the places you've been and where's the best place you've been? Give me a story.
I've been almost everywhere except China. But if I'm supposed to give you like a really cool story, I can give you one about Japan. I went to Japan and it's so strange. Like, Chill Spot was like the biggest song. It was crazy. So like, you know, you're performing in like clubs, you know, 500 to 1,000, you know, perform. Then I got the opportunity to perform at a festival. I think it was in Fujiyama. So, you know, you have like Aki and Selfish, I think their name was Aki and Selfish, perform mash up the place, you know. Trust me, tear down the place. I'm here to say, yo, when may I go and go after them two, man? And I'm gone. Listen to me, JR. When I went on that stage, I wouldn't even say it's goosebumps. A rock stone, some rock stone come over my body, like to hold the bump then. Big, man, I said, no, this can't really. When I started the song, like, I didn't have to sing it. That was one of the experiences where I understood like the power of music. Like, they don't talk English. Well, somebody might, but of the 10 to 15,000 people in the crowd, they don't talk English. Three quarter of them though, and they're singing my songs word for word. Like me. I said, no, I can't mean this. This is impossible. I must dream me a dream. That was like an eye-opener for me. Japan did that for me, and when I went to Kenya the very first time, and when I came off the plane, got into the airport and everything, and then collected bags, and when I step outside, it's a stage show outside. I couldn't believe that all these people came to greet me. And I mean, they just came to see me and to tell me that they're going to be at the show. That was crazy for me. Listen to me, man. I used to hear about it, like, here, so when Shabba was in his prime, when him think of Shabba, you know what I mean, when he come back to Jamaica, like, the road people come greet him and show him love and rape. But listen to me, man. The amount of people I saw outside of that airport in Kenya, I'm a place. Yeah, man. Yeah. Africa. Love it, man. 100%.
This is World Music Views. So we talk about music. We talk about music business. You're signed to a record label. What is that experience like? And why did you choose to go with a label versus stay independent?
Staying independent versus signing to a label. I felt like it was just a point in my career where I felt like I needed to do that. You know, like I was independent up until that point, and the machinery that a record label can afford you, and the opportunities, I felt like it was in my best interest, you know. So big up to VP Records. I just felt like I was at that stage in my career, and I myself and my lawyers, we went through the contract, and I felt comfortable. You understand? I felt comfortable, and I don't feel like it was taken away from my independence per se, and I mean, I still had like creative control over my kind of vibes, and what I wanted to do as it relates to my career and the type of songs that I want to do. Yeah, so you know, I just felt like I was at that point in my career, you know, and I don't feel like it was taken away from anything at all. So we just made the move, you know, and it's been fruitful, you know. So at all times, not the bigger VP Records and all the people, the A&R and all the people from the head down to the person that distributes, to the person that creates the merch, you know, them I big them up, man. A good vibes. It was a good partnership. It is a good partnership because I'm still signed.
So I spoke to Sean Paul a few weeks ago, and he was signed to VP Atlantic. And he told me, he was quite open in telling me that he doesn't own any of his hits.
That after, you know, the first album sells 7 million one time, boom, amazing. So I go back to Atlantic the next year, and I'm like, yo, why you guys ain't supporting me right now? I don't see no flyers, don't see no posters about my album in the streets like it used to be. This was 2005. And they were like, I sold 7 million records. That means you made $36 million off of me in 1 year. And they were like, yeah, but that was last year. That is seriously what they said to me. And they were like, this is a new year, new things. And I was like, oh, what the blood. So they were like, and we've made up a policy that we're only going to develop younger artists. You have a fend for yourself. You're already a world figure now. Go do your thing. So I was like, damn. And so from 2005, it's been a fight for me to stay in people's earshot. That's why when 2006 come around and Temperature went number one, I was very, very
elated. Masters. Do you own your masters? And are you comfortable with that? Whether or not...
No, at this point in my career, no, I don't own my masters. But I'm okay, you know what I mean? At some juncture in my life, I feel like that will be something that needs to be panned out, needs to be worked out. But at this point in time, it doesn't make or break me, you know? Yeah, so we're just focusing on brand Chris Martin, getting it out there more. You know, we're all very well known in like the reggae arenas and all that. So we're just kind of creeping into like the overseas market, ensuring that the name and the features, people can put the name to the songs. Because that was one of the things, like with my song now, Paper Loving, that is just going crazy, like madness. You know, like a lot of people were like, oh, this is your song all this time. Like, you know, strange. It's crazy. But it's different because it's a different kind of fan base now. It's a different set of people knowing this song now. You're known in the reggae fraternity and the dancehall fraternity, but outside of that, like the people in Uzbekistan and the people over there in Serbia and some places that you've never been to. You understand? Yeah, so masters and owning of the masters is not really that detrimental to me right now.
Some people compare you to Tory Lanez and say you have a similar vocal range, vocal tone. Yeah. Are you going for that Sing J market that Tory Lanez captures so effortlessly? And do you embrace that comparison?
Well, I'm not really going for anything as it relates to whatever Tory Lanez is popping with right now. But I've heard the comparison. So we have similar styles and similar vocal abilities or whatever. But Tory a bad artist, you know what I mean? And I just feel like with the kind of energy that I've been pushing where dancehall and the different kind of beats are concerned, is just my kind of energy, my vibe. I just felt like we've been singing, we've been doing the love songs and them kind of vibe there for years. So the opportunity is there now where I can show them, you know, just can't sing, you know, them beats and we can't tackle them too. You know what I mean? And that's why I chose to do it. I just felt like, If you're able to show versatility, why not show it? I mean, so that's the vibe behind it. It's not like weird comparison. Now we say, oh, we need to go over this and show them, say, our place and I feel them. You know what I mean? It's just straight. It's just straight showing that if I say it, that we can do it as well, and keep the same kind of body of work. You know, the message and everything stays the same. We just step on a different kind of melodies and cadences and beats, you know? But when I switch up, we're in which we talk about positivity and upliftment and protecting the women and nice life and them things. That's what I'm about, straight up.
The Prime Minister keep making utterances about dancehall being a contributing factor to violence.
Madam Speaker, when will we reach the point as a society where we come to the understanding that in our art form, in our music, and in our culture, in as much as you are free to reflect what is happening in the society, you also have a duty to place it in context?
Do you believe that?
No, not fully. I don't fully believe in that, you know, because the music is like a marketplace, you know? You go to the market, everybody can't be selling oranges or bananas or pineapples. You know, some people have to sell onion, some people have to sell cassava, yam, banana. You as the vendor know, you and then you have the people as you as the buyer, you have to know what you want. You know what I mean? So you have to go there and choose what you want. Nobody now force the music on them. You understand? So when you go to the marketplace, you have to choose what you want to buy. You know, as it relates to like it being a contributing factor to violence, no. Some people feel like there's I feel politically correct, you know. Some people might say, yes, and they might have strong points to it. Like they can feel like, oh, ever since these kind of songs started, you can see it in the statistics that violence has gone up. But there's always been violence, always. And I don't feel like if your favorite artist tells you or sings in a song that this is what he doesn't do it. You know what I mean? You hear him saying, him walk over the sand, him do this, him not do it. You understand? Just like how the Bible says, if you write on a finger, cut it off. What is more potent than the Bible? Would you cut off your hand for real? You know, it's just how you interpret it. And I think it's the interpretation. You understand what I say? So, the PM and his friends, they have, I think they have their they're experts that would show them that maybe the data proves that something might be there for them to talk about. But personally, for me, I don't feel like it's that serious. Yeah, we can kind of tone down on how really word and how we sing the kind of thing them. Yeah, enough, it's a graphic sometimes, but at the end of the day, you can't tell a man to sing his freedom of speech, you know what I mean? Freedom to express themselves. So, touchy, you know what I mean?
All right, so your manager told me that your new song, Rent Free, clocked 30 million streams.
Yeah.
Tell me about that song. I saw the video. It has Paul Campbell, renowned actor, in the video. I saw you doing some acting. Lovely video.
Listen, we have a busy day tomorrow. How do you want me to handle this?
Nobody comes to this town debt free. Everybody must pay. Let's go.
Jordan, yo, is we abandoned. And we no take talk from no one. Hashtag, we life of them worried.
I'm free. Yeah, man, a big vibes, man. Bossy vibes. We talk about the general now, Paul Campbell. Just, I think he told me that that's the first music video he's done. And that was for me an honor and a vibe and a joy to be there and set with him. Because at the end of the day, we grew up, I watched this general from Lunatics, you know, to Third World Cup, to Shatters, you name it. And any role he gets, he kills it, you know. So just to be there with him and him telling me about his career and his path coming up and all the struggles he had to go through and all of that, it was a vibe for me, you know what I mean? Got the money, a top act in my eyes, top act, top professional in his craft. So yeah, for him to be a part of my music video was an honor, man. Big vibes. Big up Paul Cam, big up in general everywhere, big up Ratty, you see. Yeah, so rent free, man. Rent free is just, it's self-explanatory. I live in a people head rent free, like you're residing there permanently. Like you have good landlords and bad landlords, and the landlords I'm speaking about in this one, people who they see you on like an upward trajectory, they see your life doing well, they see you succeeding in businesses and all of them something, and they're thinking of ways to stop you. So you're constantly in their mind, in their head, but not for good reasons. It's not like they must say, how can I help to elevate him even more, or what can I do, how can I support him, can I buy his merch, can I support his songs, can I go online and stream so he can have more. No, them are trying to stop it. And them people ahead we are living on, I now go change, because once you're being successful or once you're doing and you're being positive and on the right path, they are always living at them head. Yeah, man, and the numbers speak for itself, is it?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, man.
Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Deezer, you have DigiPlay. They're all streaming sites that they operate now in the Caribbean. Do you think streaming is good for the music industry? And how are you managing in streaming time? Are you maneuvering it?
It's just the way technology are going now, you know what I mean? Because when we grew up, I did cassettes. And from cassettes, then you have look iPod thing them. Then you have, you know, see where music is transitioning. And at the end of the day, you can't, whether or not you were of the age where you'd love to have like your physicals being sold, like you want to see a CDs on the shelf, and you want, if you're in that age and you're stuck in that mindset, then you'll be left behind, you know what I mean? Streaming is where it's at right now. Yeah. And it's awesome. It's awesome that those platforms are now in the Caribbean and available in Jamaica, because there are so many Jamaicans who would love to stream the music. They would love, and those numbers were non-existent before this. You understand? So now those numbers can be amassed with the numbers all across the world, you know? And it's good for us. It's good for us as artists in the Caribbean, artists in Jamaica, to see how Jamaica is supporting their music. You understand? As opposed to just living off like, see how much views I got on YouTube. And there are so many different ways of the views that can come from YouTube. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, what's the transparency there? But how can you manipulate like the streams though from the different platforms? It's much more difficult. You understand? So with them being available now, a big vibes, man. Big vibes. And you can see what they're doing. And you can go online. And you can check them Spotify and see them numbers and see how they might improve and see what they need for the engage them audience more and see if them can increase them viewership, increase them streams. I just said, you know, man, you can't stuck in the Stone Age for concrete work right now.
Big up, Chris Martin. Thank you so much. This is World Music Views on Apple, Spotify, everywhere you listen to podcasts and on local television. Chris Martin, thank you so much.
Enough respect, general. Blessings, eh? Yo, this is Christopher Martin, and you are listening to World Music Views. Keep it locked. Don't touch that dial. Don't move a muscle. Easy.
That's it for World Music Views. Follow World Music Views everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for more musical insights. I'm JR. Stay up. Way up. If you want to hear the songs mentioned or heard on this episode, go to YouTube or on your favorite streaming platform and search World Music Views playlist to hear more.